right, everybody.
What? It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Oh, I guess.
People always sing at the start of podcasts.
They do.
That's the improv thing.
Is it really?
Just go, they don't know what to do. They'll just go, I'm going to sing what you just said.
They do. They do.
Maybe that's why I haven't done a lot of improv.
No. Hey, everybody. This is Matt Maher. I'm here. It's an evening show. We're doing an evening show. I'm here with...
It's 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m. It's not. It's 7. I'm here with and actually can say you're not old, but with an old friend, Clayton Ferris.
Hello.
Thank you. This is a long time coming. I feel like Amberlee Anderson / now Amberlee Cantrell.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be so happy to listen. I'm going to tell her to be this show. Do you remember what we used to say in college?
To say
fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah. That's what we said.
Dude, you and Amberlee were like the cool kids when I was like.
There was like four of us. No, there was. Now tell everybody how we know one another, actually. So
we met at the University of North Texas.
Go Eagles.
Oh, I heard you talking about this the other day. Remember how they threw tortillas? I went to like one game and they would throw tortillas on the field.
Why? I never got that.
I don't get it either.
It's racist. It's,
is it? I don't even
I don't
know what it means.
I don't because
it's Eagles.
But
tortillas on their own are not racist.
If you know what that
they're
is,
just tortillas.
Yeah, that's true. They're just good gluten. Text me on Twitter or tweet me.
Tweet me.
Yeah, tweet me. And let me know.
Tweet me at Clayton Ferris, F-A-R-R-I-S. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we'll talk about that later.
We met at the University of North Texas.
We did.
And we were both, I guess, theater majors is what you call
it. I was an opera major, but then I was starting to do theater because I couldn't get a role in opera because I didn't sing well enough.
Yeah. Really?
Really, yeah.
And then we did a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and I was a Protean.
It was.
Which is like a utility player.
But you got to do a lot.
No,
y'all
we did
were
a
fucking
lot.
Overworked.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was a lot of physical comedy, but you were Hysterium.
Hysterium.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be hysterical.
Hysterical. And you were like, what was the song? It was like, I'm shy.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, and you were so great.
Oh, thank you.
Just, like, you were, I remember being like, oh, that's good. That's better than other people in this program.
That's very sweet.
You know
sweet.
What I mean? Like, sometimes that's you see performances, sweet. You're like, oh, that's how it should be done. That's up a level.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
It was very, I just remember us drinking a lot through that. A lot.
A lot of drinking.
A lot. Do you remember, was it the cast party? Or no, it was like the theater awards where we didn't have time to get drunk.
Was there like a banana award? No.
There was like, it was called like the banana. And I remember we didn't have time to drink a lot. So, Mom, if you're listening, I've never done drugs. I tried pot like twice.
Uh-huh.
But do you remember Amberlee had a back injury? Amberlee was a dancer.
Yeah.
Or is a dancer. And she had a back injury.
Ballerina.
Ballerina. So we all popped like two muscle relaxers and downed like three beers.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was like, oh, my heart's a muscle. That could have stopped and relaxed.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
I feel like dancers were, I mean, I was doing a lot of crazy stuff.
That was the most hardcore thing I've done.
Yeah.
That was nothing for you.
No, that was nothing. So that was just a normal night. But I also feel like dancers are bad influences.
Oh.
Like growing up in theater, 100%. It's always the dancers that are like
Amberlee was fucking crazy.
Yeah, she was so cool though. I loved
she
her.
She is. She's wonderful.
She was. You talk about her like she's dead.
Her husband was so hot.
She do? Where does she live?
She lives in Austin now, but they used to live in Ireland for like 3 years.
Okay.
And I believe now, does she do Pilates? She's probably going to, I would say Pilates, and it's probably not Pilates.
She's like, no.
She's going to Facebook me and be like, fuck you, Matt Maher. It's not Pilates. I can hear her saying that and
like,
laughing.
Do you think there's like a world where if you do Pilates, that's like the worst thing you can
no,
do?
No, but I mean, a lot of ballerinas do. I need to do them so that way I have abs.
Yeah.
But it'll never happen.
Just do yoga.
Yeah, I'll do that. And, she does that. She has like beautiful children. And I remember I used to get drunk
gorgeous.
And always talk about how hot her husband was.
Yeah. Wait, was she married at UNG?
No. She was dating because she was Amberlee Anderson. She was dating, though, Brian Cantrell.
Who she married.
Yeah.
See, this is all news
aren't
to me.
Aren't those the most southern? Amberlee Anderson and Brian Cantrell.
Yeah, my sisters. I'm from the South.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're from where?
I'm from Dallas.
Oh,
and
I don't know.
Amberlee. That's literally my sister's name, Amberlee, but it's separated.
Oh, it is.
So it's like Amberlee, yeah.
So what was it like for you growing up in the Big D?
It was great. I mean,
what school did you go to?
I went to W.T. White High School.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean? What high school? Is
yeah,
that
I don't
interesting?
Know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
yeah,
mean,
yeah, yeah.
I grew up just like in like actually Dallas, like the north part of Dallas. My parents, you know, were normal working class people.
Working class.
I have three sisters. Yeah, it was fun. I always did theater and all that shit.
You're just the theater geek
yeah.
from the get-go.
Kind of,
and
yeah.
then you went from there, you went to North Texas, or did you go?
I went to Brookhaven Community College.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know what I wanted to. I don't like my parents, God bless them, are so supportive, but they were never like, you have to go to college. You have to do this. They were just like, we're glad that we're not poor white trash anymore. So like, we've already made it. Do what you want. So they are very supportive. But yeah, so I was like, I think I want to go to community college and then go to college. And I studied theater.
Community college?
Well, yeah, I did. Well, I just took like normal classes at community college, Brookhaven. Then I went to University of North Texas for a year. Lived in the dorms, had that whole experience.
Bruce Hall?
I was not in Bruce.
Which dorm were you in?
I was in Kerr. Bruce was like the cool.
That was the music.
The music and the theater. Hippie dorm. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I was in Kerr Hall. Because I was like a
Where
last.
The fuck is Kerr?
Kerr
Hall?
Was like the really tall one. It was like, it was kind of like,
oh,
just like.
Oh, yes, yes,
like
yes.
The leftovers. Like everyone yes. that kind of like applied to school late.
Yes, 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 yes. I remember I was too scared at first to be in Bruce. I was like, oh, the people smoke pot there. I can't go in that dorm.
Did you
There's homosexuals
there?
In there. There's no. Homosexuals. And then I get to Crumley. Which was like, but
wasn't
then,
that like the all girl dorm?
No. Yes, right. It was all upperclassmen, but then I started screwing my friend who was an RA, even though I wasn't out yet, and he was an RA at Bruce, so I pretty much just stayed in Bruce Hall all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where I loved hanging out, and yeah, I mean, UNT was weird. We did, I'm sorry if anyone cares, but we, like, that's when Adderall wasn't around. We would just, like, we would take Adderall to study and do what, because I did well in school my whole.
You're smart.
Yeah, and I've always done well
and
in
it's
school.
Not hard for you.
It's not hard, but it's like, we did a lot of Adderall, which was just bad. Like, we would hang out just all hours of the night in the lobby. So anyways, I got out of there and I went to Austin.
The big Austin.
The big Austin, which is a cool town. That's, Austin's the town in Texas that people really like to really suck off all the time. Like, it, you know, it's a cool town. It
is a great town.
But so are other cities in Dallas.
So I mean, everybody's like, oh, Austin's the most liberal place ever. And then I went there and I was like, okay, it's liberal for Texas.
It's liberal for Texas and it's liberal in a small sphere. It's still surrounded by bigoted,
yes,
racist assholes. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, did you go to school in Austin?
Yeah, I went back to community college.
Okay.
I went to Austin, I guess Austin Community College, ACC. And yeah, and I went there and I was going to go to University of Texas.
Which has a great theater program.
Which has a great theater program. And I went and interviewed with them. And for some reason, they were like, we're not a, they were like, what did they say? They were like, we're not a conservatory, Mr. Ferris. And I was like, I know. I have like, so I just, then I think I kind of just was over, because I think I partied a lot in Austin too.
Then, don't really remember it.
And then I moved back to Dallas and I graduated from the University of Texas at Dallas.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is like an engineering school with a very, very small theater program.
Oh.
So, yeah. But I just had already started doing like regional theater around
Dallas. Yeah. Did you stay in Dallas for a little bit or did you like after graduation move to LA?
As soon as I graduated from University of Texas at Dallas, I moved to LA for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know what to do. It was my first time living on my own. I didn't have a job.
Oh, well, yeah. It's totally,
you know,
it's
yeah. And it was such a change. So it didn't really work. I was living on my friend Allison's couch and she had just like she had just come out as lesbian and met the love of her life.
Oh, wow.
And I was living on their love seat, their love sack.
Their literal love seat.
Yeah. Well, you know those love sacks?
You're sleeping on their tits. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. In between their boobs. Their love sacks.
Their love seats. No, by love seat, I mean their vaginas. They would hold me with their thighs up, and I would sleep between their two legs. No, a love sack is what I meant. It's like this big beanbag. And I slept on that. And like Allison was so sweet and so is her wife, who's awesome. But she was kind of like, we're just like getting to know each other. Who's this fucker on the couch? And then I moved back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then?
And then I started working in the hotel business.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
See, now it does sound like I'm like 45.
I love this story. It does. Yeah. It sounds like you're 50. Yeah. He's not everybody.
But I started working at the Hotel Zaza in Dallas, which is like the fancy like boutique hotel.
It sounds like a hotel in Batman.
Yeah, it should. It may as well be. It was that like, I think that their logo was like, work hard, play harder. So it was just a place for like kind of the new money Southern Dallas
business people to come,
business people
to cheat on their wives
and just like go and just drink too much.
Did you see a
pretend
lot
like they're in LA?
Just a lot of affairs.
Saw a lot of affairs. Saw a lot of people checking in under weird names. I saw people, like, I saw one time I saw this lady check in really quickly, and she had a big bag of literal money, just like a bag of money.
Oh my God.
So like, you could just imagine she like was fighting with her husband, like withdrew all the money out of the account.
She's like, I'm going to go to the Hotel Zaza and start a new life.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn you, Clarence.
Damn you, Clarence. No, this is kind of like those women that are like Southern blonde, tan.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Not like white trash, because the rooms are like $490. No,
they're painted ladies.
They're painted ladies.
Painted ladies. Ladies of the night. So then you stayed at the hotel?
Well, I worked at the hotel, but the other thing I was going to say is there were a lot of people that would drink. Like, we would have to stop people from drinking themselves to death a lot. Like, that was a real thing.
Oh, wow.
People just refilling their mini bars over and over and over again. And at a certain point, we had to be like, we don't feel like we're being responsible, because they're just like these depressed rich people. Yeah, so I worked there. Then I moved to the Belmont Hotel, which is this really cool hotel in Oak Cliff, which is like
fancy.
It's not really fancy. It's more like hipster, I guess.
Okay.
But it was in the middle of like the what they quote unquote ghetto, but it was kind of like, now Oak Cliff in Dallas is like the happening place to be.
Yeah.
And this hotel kind of like led the charge. So it was fun to go from like this like uptown where all this money was to just be on the forefront of something cool happening.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's such a fucking boring story because
it's hotel business. No, but I like that you're going. And so then from there.
So from there, at the start of the recession, now I am 100. At the start of the recession, I got laid off because I was like at this point working in like sales and marketing.
Oh, unemployment. Do it.
You know, I got laid off and I wasn't on unemployment. And I was like, what am I going to do? And one of my like clients at the time was... this is the story of me moving to LA, by the way, for anyone listening.
I love it. I love this stuff. It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey.
Hashtag journey.
It's a duration piece.
Okay.
So I was one of the clients of, like, I handled the room blocks was the AFI Film Festival, which was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got laid off, this girl I had met working for AFI, she also worked for Outfest, which is the gay and lesbian film festival out here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, if you ever want to come out to LA, I'll have a job for you at one of these festivals. And so I was like laid off. I was depressed. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go to the summer. I'm going to go to LA for the summer and work at a festival. And I worked at Outfest and see what happens. And then now I've been here for 7 years. That's my story.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, I love cheers to that.
I mean, cheers to water, cheers.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, everyone has their story about getting here, but it like takes time, you know?
Well, no, but I think that like people think you just get here and like,
yeah,
people are like, oh, Matt, you're doing this and that. Boy, you've really been working hard. I was like, I didn't know what I was doing for about 6 years. I just kind of
exactly
you fucked around and just was like, ah, and had sex with men because I realized nobody cares out here.
No one cares.
It was very different.
Everyone's just fucking everybody.
Everybody's like, yeah, they're all, I mean, some woman thumping a dog right now right outside my window because, you know, it's legal now.
Oh, my
now.
God, that's Sharon.
It's legal now. Hey, we can Sharon. Marry our puppies.
That's what the Supreme Court passed.
That's what the Supreme Court passed.
Dog fucking.
Yeah, dog
Where
fucking.
Is your dog, by the way?
So she's in her corner.
Oh.
She's in her little corner.
I'm like, she's frozen.
She is. I remember, you know what one of the things I still think about you every once in a while is that you burned for me at the time, back when people used to burn CDs, the Outkast CD, Stank On You.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, you have to listen to
that
this
That was my
CD.
Jam.
You, and it was so good.
Saw her, Miss Jackson.
Yes. It was, anyway, I remember that.
I love that.
So I think about you every time I pull out the CD. I'm like, yeah. Oh, Clayton Ferris.
Aww.
See, Sophie heard her name, and now she's here.
I've thought about you like ever since I met you many years ago, and I love the fact.
Amberly and I looked for you for like 2 years, and we couldn't find you.
In like around in Dallas.
We're like, he's
UT.
In Texas yeah. somewhere. Anyway.
I was hiding. Well, I was in Austin. But I thank God for Facebook, because that's when I found everybody again. But
yeah,
it's so
great.
Cool to be able to reconnect with people. Literally, like 10 years later. You know what I mean?
Well, and I saw you once. Again, we just always do things drunk. Remember at Killian's party?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I remember.
I remember you moved. I was a little tipsy.
I was wasted.
You were wasted. This guy, Killian, he's on Dear Maddie episode like 28 or 29. Everybody, if you want to listen. And he's a commercial casting director, and he has a huge Christmas party. And because we're both, hi, Sophie, because we're both commercial actors, I'm like going to leave. And you were, I mean, like.
Was I with my friend Ayana, tall black girl?
Pretty black girl. Yeah. You were blitzed.
We were blitzed. Yeah. I mean, that.
But you were so sweet.
That was. I was excited to see you.
It was shocking. It was like
shocking.
This millions of people city, you walk in and see somebody.
Because I didn't know you had moved, lived out here.
I didn't know you lived here either.
Yeah. So that's what I love when you see someone in from your past that you really are fond of, and then you see them randomly.
It's awesome.
In your world, I was floored.
It makes you, I don't know. Those kind of things make me believe in God, actually.
Yeah. And serendipity.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a terrible movie.
It was.
That was a really.
We're
really
saying this. We're never going to hang out again.
Yeah. It's going to be like 3 years. So, all right. Well, let's jump into some questions.
Let's do it. Sorry to bore you. I feel like this is if I never make it to Marc Maron's podcast.
Oh, my gosh. I love What the Fuck. Did you listen to the Obama one?
I haven't yet. Oh, I'm scared to listen to it for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
It's really good.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I'm sure.
I try not to be political in the dramatic show, but I love Obama. I don't care. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I love him. I love him. I love him. Sing Amazing Grace at my funeral.
Oh, that was the thing. Like everyone was freaking out about the
gay marriage.
Gay marriage, which was amazing.
Was great.
But whenever, like, that was just an emotional day for everybody that has a heart. And that was the thing that freaked me, that got me, was when I listened to him sing Amazing Grace.
I watched the whole speech for 30 minutes and I posted, I said, this is, even on the day of gay marriage, I said, this is actually the most moving thing that I've seen today.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
You know, I just didn't have time that day.
I didn't fast forward to the end.
I saw the end though.
I was really busy.
I was busy.
I was on a cleanse.
I was at yoga.
Yeah. Do you do yoga? You're pretty fit.
I do yoga.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Are you? You've always been very bendy.
That's
and you
not
have
true.
The best turnout.
I have. That's yeah.
You're
I remember.
The best turnout.
I've always had the best
like,
turnout.
Always have
but
like
I've never been a dancer. I remember back doing some show that Amber Lee was in, and her just telling me how great my turnout was.
I remember that too.
Like ballerinas would be like, "You have the," and I was always like, "That's my thing.
That's my thing.
I have great turnout, but
if
I'm not
a dancer."
If I could
pay Amber Lee Anderson to be here right now, I would. I would just fly.
She could
her
sit
up.
Right there.
She could sit right there and just go, "Fuck it,
fuck it." Okay, sorry.
Anyway, yeah, pour yourself some water. Okay, so let's go to the first question. This is from Karen, age 35. Dear Maddie, I can't tell if I like this guy or not. See, we get along really well. He's sweet, he's affectionate, but sometimes I just don't know if he's the one. It's been about 3 years since I've been in a relationship, and my ex-boyfriend cheated on me. It ended badly. I really think I've gotten over it, but I think I've gotten over him. But I remember when I fell in love with him, I fell hard. With this guy, it just feels slow. I don't want to waste his or my time, but he really is a great guy, so I don't want to lose out. I'm a mess. Should I dump him or move on and see how it goes? Karen, 35.
Karen, 35.
What do you?
That seems like the question that everyone has at that age. Because it's like, you want it. Do you want to get married? Like, what are
your assuming goals? Her biological clock is starting to tick.
Right. And she wants to fill those eggs.
Yeah. She wants to fill those eggs. Maybe not. I'm just assuming not all women want or need to have children. Disclaimer.
No, not at all. But this is my advice. And I'm always like eternally single. So my advice means nothing.
I really am too.
But what it makes me think is like, what are your, like, are your goals to always just have a puppy love kind of ecstatic, fully charged sexual relationship with somebody? Mm-hmm. Or is it to have like more of like a family, you know, not a family life, but just more of like a relationship that's stable, to have a supportive partner? It's like, what are you, I feel like with any relationship, it's not going to always be like sparks and,
no,
you know, fireworks, right?
No, I think it's weird that she writes. I'm honestly in this situation. Not exactly, but I've been dating somebody for a while now. And so it's kind of like we're in between. Like, I know we like each other. I know that we're not crazy serious, but there's some days like, you know what I think? I think Disney fucking ruined us.
Yeah.
This is what I think, true. Karen, because you're about my age. You're a year younger than me. And you think that, and fucking Pretty Woman and all that bullshit.
I love that movie.
Yes, Teen Witch, things like that. They ruined. Girls just want to have fun. We feel like that is what relationships are supposed to be.
Right.
They're just this, like, it always is.
And they can be that, but that means you're going to be jumping around a lot to different people.
Because I just feel like it's human nature to get bored.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're with fucking Shamar Moore and he's giving you dick every day and telling you that you look like the Queen of Sheba. You're going to get bored.
Yeah.
So I think that's just going to happen. But I think what I've learned in like the person, the guy that I'm dating now, is that it sounds really cliche, but I try to take it day by day.
Right.
I really try to take it day by day and honestly be like, do I like being with him today? Mm-hmm. I want him to be my husband. I want to have kids. Like, he knows that those are things I want in my life, but I try not to. I just try to. I don't know. I think time is a bitch when it comes to relationship.
Because
she said, oh, I'm wasting my time. And so we think, well, I need to be okay. By 3 months, we need to be here. By 6 months, we need to say, I love you. By 7 months, we need to be thinking about moving it. Whatever your time frames are.
Yeah. And it's up to Karen to have her own time frames.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it's 3 years in. Isn't that like the time when a lot of girls are like, shit or get off the pot?
Yeah. No,
you know?
It's true.
And it's like, so what do you want? Do you want to get married? But also, don't you know when you like somebody? You can tell.
I think, yes.
If you just listen to your what your body is telling you, you know.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, you know, that's a very good point, because it makes me wonder, is Karen's heart writing this question, or is her like overthinking? Is like the mind, the critical mind, like her mother that says you need to have babies? I'm guessing. I don't know your life fully, Karen. But is it that's saying,
right,
you need to move on, or this person needs to be committed? Because you said like twice or three times he's a great guy.
Right. And you can't compare it to your last relationship,
yes,
because it's its own thing.
That guy cheated on.
Unless that guy cheated on you.
Yeah. Unless this guy has a small penis, dump him.
If he has a small dick.
I'm a size queen. Karen, run. Run.
Matt's not wearing pants. He's not lying.
Okay. This is the first podcast, by the way. I sat down and I heard like a rip. And Clayton, like, pants. Like, my pants ripped. Like, there's a little hole in my crotch. My favorite. Disclaimer, I just lost 11 fucking pounds.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you. So I don't know why. You haven't seen me in like 8 years.
What
you're like,
you
look so much better. And so, but I don't know why my shorts ripped now. God bless America.
Sweaty.
Sweating.
Just sweaty legs.
It's just sweaty legs. Yeah.
So, Karen, just follow your heart.
Yeah, I think it's. Well, and also too, Karen,
you're not a mess either, because you're like in a relationship. You're probably getting laid all the time.
Please, yeah. I'm way more of a hot mess. And I wonder too, like, has Karen have a history of dating bad boys? Is that it too?
Because I'm curious how long she was with.
Because at first I was really into the brothers who, you know, did not speak the gay name. Really, like, you know, I dated bad boys. I've been that route, Karen. That's going to give you nothing but HPV.
Nothing but
HPV.
Which is actually easily curable, but still.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's once not curable, but it's treatable.
Yeah, once you get HPV.
This is not a place for...
You're an actor.
True advice.
Have you played a doctor before?
No.
Okay, good. Because...
Wait, I was going to ask you, are you a real therapist?
I am. I have my master's in clinical psychology.
You do? Okay.
I'm not licensed.
Right.
So, but I do my master's in clinical... Mainly because I just have had other shit going on. But yeah.
Yeah,
I'm an actual therapist.
Because I saw that on your tagline. I was like,
yeah, therapist host chatter.
That's great.
That's me.
But also, I just realized that I was thinking that it was the new guy that she had been with for 3 years, but it was the old guy. This new guy, it's still kind of early, so fuck it. You don't have to hang on.
Yeah.
You know, like,
never mind. Let him go.
Never mind. Let him go. It sounds awful. You are a mess. No, you're not, Karen.
Karen, did we help? Did we help Karen? I don't know if we did or not, but I think
that was all over the place.
Now
I'm not qualified to give advice, by the way. But I really enjoy doing it.
Have you ever been in love?
Yes.
Okay. So when you were in love with that person, do you fall quickly or slowly?
For me, it's always a slow burn.
Really?
Yeah, because you can, I mean, I think you can fall like in lust with someone really quickly, but like
I'll be honest, I'll say this about you, knowing you. Maybe it's you've changed in 8 years and stuff, but and I mean this in a good way, because you're actually quite intellectual. I can see you being an overthinker,
right?
Are you or no?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah, so 100%. I think she's overthinking a little bit. So I want to, like, how does your overthinking play in when you fell in love with somebody? Was that activated or was that kind of dormant?
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. I think if you're thinking about this too early in the relationship, like you are overthinking it.
Okay,
let it play itself out and like follow your heart. You have to pull your fucking mind out of it, because it's
yes.
always gonna just, especially if you're super rational like I am, I'm too mm-hmm. rational. You're gonna rationalize your way out of everything.
That's
so
true.
You don't get hurt.
Yeah, because that's what fear does.
Yeah.
Fear says, hey, I can use your rationale to talk you out of this.
Right.
Where your heart's like,
yeah. But follow the heart, right? I don't
yeah.
know. I'm not good at that. No.
That hashtag follow the heart, Karen. That's it. Jake hates it when I say fashion. I just said, I almost said fashtag. That's fashion. Fashtag.
Jake hates it when I say fashtag.
Yes.
Oh, like, poodle. What?
He doesn't listen to the show. I don't know why I say his name. Okay. I love this next.
Oh, yeah.
I love this next question. It's so random. This is from Geraldine, age 24.
I love her name.
I love this name. Geraldine. Geraldine.
That reminds me of my grandma's name. Is Darlene.
Darlene?
Yeah.
Oh, that's country.
It is
so
country.
You have white trash in your family?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Runs deep.
Runs deep. What are your dad? Is this your mom's Darlene?
This is my dad, Bobby's mom.
Oh, his name is it not William or Bob? It's actually Bobby?
It's Bobby. No, it's Robert, but like.
Robert?
He goes.
What are his siblings' names? Are they country names?
Not really. It's Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Bobby.
You're like, not really. It's Ronnie.
No, it's not country. It's Bubba Gun. Bubba. No, it's Renee. I mean, you just can say any name country.
It's Renee.
My sisters have stripper names.
Oh, they do?
What Brandy.
Brandy.
Christy.
Christy.
And Amber.
It's true. It's true. It's true. Did any of them get pregnant at a young age?
All three? No.
That's
no.
Terrible. All right. So Geraldine, age 24, asked, Dear Maddie, what's your favorite dance move? I bet you're fun at weddings. That's the question. That's the question.
I bet it's a good question, though. Because you probably are fun at weddings.
I will say, I fucking love weddings.
And I have a strong hunch that you get invited to a lot of weddings. Do you or no?
I'm going to one this weekend, actually.
See?
This one I'm excited about. It's my cousin. I'm going to Houston.
Great.
I get invited to a lot of weddings.
And do you dance at weddings?
I dance my ass off at weddings. Not good. I dance like a white man.
Right.
But, I mean, I know. I'm not a terrible white man dancer. I'm decent. I'm better than Dennis Gothard. I remember he was in show choir, and like we had a finger where you point, but he lost his finger in a bicycle accident, so he just had his nubbin sticking up.
Oh, poor thing.
And
he could never do Staying Alive.
No, he couldn't. And it was like, I think it was like a 70s. So the choreographer had to change the number because it looked weird because Ed Elvis had his finger and he just had his number and that was kind of wiggling.
So he just made everyone punch instead of point?
Yes. We were fisting in Staying Alive.
She's like, fist up, fist down.
Pretty much. Move it around. Pinky. And so, I don't know why I said pinky. But what is my favorite dance move? You know, I want to bring it back to UNT, an old colleague of mine who now lives in Austin, actually a great girl. My friend Jenny Rose, who was a music major in college, taught me the shopping cart.
Right.
I'd never know. And I do. And she would be like, oh, there's a sale. And she'd grab some items. And, you know, and she would back it up because you forgot the noodles.
Right.
I loved it. I never knew the shopping cart before.
Yeah.
It took me a while because I was a mascot in high school. So,
what was your mascot?
Like, Bruno the Longhorn. See that picture right there on my bookshelf with the black and white?
That was my high school Longhorn, too, at WTY. Longhorns.
So, see the black mascot and white on the second shelf to the right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it? Yeah.
That's
me. I
think
we had the same suit.
Oh, well, I think there's only one, yes. And you order it from, like, cheerleadingsuits.com.
Right, yeah.
Dear Maddie Show brought to you by cheerleadingsuits.com.
Gotcha.
But anyway,
shopping cart.
I would do like cheerleading moves. It's the dance moves. And then I learned, this is not how people really dance.
No.
You've got to learn real dance moves.
Yeah.
Oh, that was like, a sprinkler. What's yours? I bet you're fun at weddings.
I love weddings.
I love
dancing. But I feel like now, because like growing up, remember there were always certain moves. Like there was like the chic. Remember the chic? You'd be like, chic fu.
Oh, yes. You're a little black.
I am. I was, yes.
Do black people love you?
Yes, and I love black people.
Me too. I love them.
I was on, when I was in high school, there was like a black step team. I was the only white person.
You actually on the step team?
I wasn't on the step team, but I would like guest with them at pep rallies. And like, yeah.
What was their name?
It was LPC. Or no, it was, I forget, we had like spirit.
Because what was the name of your high school?
WT Watt.
That sounds like a black high school.
Right.
Yeah. Were you like one of the few white kids there?
No, we were like a very like
mixed. You were like normal. Okay,
yeah,
that's
like,
good.
It was a very mixed.
So
school.
You're like on the step team, like doing the step stuff?
Doing steps, like, yeah, just like a lot of chant. I don't know. It was just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, so, but like growing up, you had the dances that you would do in, you know, like
the chic,
the Tootsie Roll, like
Running Man,
the Running Man. Like those were real dances.
They were real dances. Yeah.
And then now, like since I'm on Vine and stuff like that, you see what the new things are, like the Nene or the Whip.
The Whip?
Yeah, the Whip's like the Whip.
Oh, you can kind of by the way, like you remember, was like, oh, you're talking about the show. And you're like, oh, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're on Vine. You have like 3 million followers on Vine or some shit like that.
No, I have like it's like 40,000.
How does that happen? What is okay? My friend Ori Kalmus, really cute guy. He does a lot of Vine. I don't think he has that many followers, and he kind of explained Vine. No, Paul Elia actually was on.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get into Vine? Okay, Geraldine, we answered your question. Moving on. How did you get into Vine?
When Vine first came out, it was just it was fun. It was like a fun thing you would do with friends, make videos. I don't know, as part of Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I was on Twitter. We just started making things. My friend, the girl I Vine with is Alana Forsyth, who has like 50,000 followers, and we're building our like repertoire. But she just loved Vining and kept going.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know, all those Vine, we all started at the same time, like the big Viners and us, but they just kept going. And now they have like 7 million followers and always like are on, you know, they make like $15,000 a Vine and all this shit. And we still just do it for fun.
Uh-huh.
Like for me, it's like I used to do stand-up comedy. I don't really anymore. Vine kind of fills that niche of like, if I have an idea, instead of just like letting it go out into the ether, I'm like, let's make a Vine about it. And if it's funny, people will watch it. But people will also
tell you.
So did
you have like one Vine that like went viral?
Yeah, we did. We had this one Vine that it was basically me and her. We have a character where we're not really together in real life. Oh, that's a spoiler, but because people think we are. But we play like a couple on Vine, and there was one where I had an old printer, and I was like, let's just use this in a Vine. And so, did you see this Vine? Printer Vine? So it's like, it's not even funny, but it has a Vine
and I never use it.
It has like 50 million views on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's what I love about social media, and because the truth of social media and all that and viralness, you can't control what people like. Like, it's up to the people. That's the interesting thing about social media. Anyways, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, toss me the keys. And then, toss me my keys. She throws me a printer, and I'm like, I said keys.
Oh,
and she
I
goes,
did see
I
this.
Thought you said printer. And I'm like, why the fuck would I say printer?
I did see that Vine.
You did.
Actually,
yeah.
I did.
That was me. Or you saw it online.
I think I saw it because I think I saw someone share that.
Yeah.
Because 50 million people saw it.
No, it went viral for a moment. And like we were interviewed by like Backstage Magazine, and like it was a weird moment. We got meetings. I met with like managers.
We've I know an attorney, by the way, who represents like YouTube Vine.
Really?
People. He's amazing. Really nice guy. You can trust him.
Okay, great.
Yes, I can tell you. His name's Todd Garber. Whatever, Todd.
Todd.
His ass is
this
so cute.
This is brought to you by Todd Garber's ass.
The Dramatic Show brought to you by Todd Garber's ass.
That's a character.
I don't know. Oh,
that's
my voiceover character. I'm taking voiceover class, people. Do you notice? Do you notice on the Dramatic Show? Do I sound more of a voiceover person? Tweet me. Whatever.
Tweet me. But here's the thing about what I will say about Vine and stuff like that. People dog it, but I think it's really, if you're a creative person and it's your goal is to make funny shit, it's the easiest way because it's immediate.
So what is the difference between Vine and Periscope?
Vine is something you record and you can edit and it's 6 seconds long.
Yes.
Periscope is live streaming.
Oh.
So I would turn it on right now and it would just be a live stream of this. And you just
and so once you Periscope and it's done, it's gone.
It stays on your feed.
Okay,
but it does as a recording. But it's like most people are using it because of its live streaming feature.
Yes,
because it comes like the reason it's important is because say there was like a riot happening right here that people couldn't get into, you could like record it and it would go out into the world. It's like immediate news. But then of course everyone's using it for like. The first thing people use it for is probably live cam sex shows.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that's what everyone uses everything for first is porno.
Now, is Vine that? Because I've noticed like Twitter will show dick pics and things like that. Instagram won't.
Right.
Because I follow a couple of porn stars, whatever they're cute. One of my friends is a porn star, and I went, whoa, there's his penis on Twitter. He's taking it up the poop shoot.
Yeah, I think that Twitter doesn't have those like restrictions.
Does Vine?
Vine, you can still do it on Vine, but you can't like search it. Like I sound like an expert. you can't search it, and uh-huh. You can't because Vine is really an app. Like it mostly kids are on Vine, so I think it's a good thing that they don't let you do it. Do they have the baby?
No, I'm looking. You guys, sorry. I have my phone on for the first time during the Dramatic Show because Michael Bellavia from, I think, episode 20 of the Dear Maddie show. His surrogate is in labor right now, and I'm waiting to get the message if he had the baby.
That's exciting news.
It is exciting. Sorry.
Gay it was babies. It was just a text.
It was saying my laundry needs to be switched out.
Because don't you have a guy? That does that?
Yes. Ronaldo.
No, anyway. So, but that's the thing that's happening on Instagram right now is like hashtag free the nipple. It's where, because like guys can show their nipples full.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Just click on Instagay.
Yeah, but no, just even like if I was at the beach and I'm like, here's a selfie of me at the beach with my friends. If the girl next to me had her tetes out, they would flag the photo.
So they want to change that about Instagram?
Well, they just want, like, it's you know, everything's a fucking movement right now.
They
want
to be very European.
They just want to be like, why can guys have their titties out and girls can't? So.
Because it's America and we care about that kind of crap. I'm not saying we should.
Right, but I mean.
It's why we don't see dick on HBO all the time. Right. We see women's vaginas.
Yeah, that's a weird double standard, though. Like, you can't see titties. But you see tits on Game of Thrones too, and
you see it all on Game of Thrones of the women,
right?
And then,
but even like if you're,
I want to see Jon Snow's dick, everybody. Okay,
even though Jon Snow is, how tall is he in real life?
He's really. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. I have not watched this last season though.
Oh, okay.
But I already know fucking everything that happens, of course.
Oh, that sucks.
Because it's all spoilers.
It sucks. I didn't know. I watched it. I didn't know about the Red Wedding or anything.
Yeah. But have you caught up? Like, are you
no,
up?
But I didn't. I had sinus surgery like a year ago. And I was like, oh, I'll watch Game of Thrones. And so that's when I caught up on everything.
I mean, the whole last. But have you watched the last season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I was going to lie and be like, the whole last season is just Jon Snow's penis.
It's just his penis.
But it's because they're on the wall and it's cold. It's just so, like sucked inside of him.
I don't know why it makes that noise. We're off book. All right. Let's go.
We're off book.
We're off book.
Theatrical term.
It's a theatrical term. All right. This third and final question is from Victor. Victor, age 31. Dear Maddie, I'm pretty sure my boss is an alcoholic. He always has a... I like that makes you laugh. You're like, ah, you're laughing. All right. Dear Maddie, I'm pretty sure my boss is an alcoholic.
You shouldn't know that about your boss.
Well, I know. Well, this is... Yeah, that's true. He always has a drink at lunch, and then what used to be a once-a-week happy hour now has turned into three times a week. Okay.
Is your boss Don Draper?
Yes, it's true. I also know he drinks pretty much every night. He says he collects whiskey and whatnot, but isn't that just an excuse to drink? that's funny. No, that's not funny that he drinks. It's funny that you say that.
No, it is.
All right.
This is hitting too close to home.
Is it? His eyes also look bloodshot most mornings. He's not abusive or anything like that. He gets the work done and we get along just fine. Should I talk to him? We're not good friends, but I've been working under him for 4 years now. So I do care about his welfare. And if I'm honest, I'm honest, my job security. What should I do? Victor, age 31. Victor. This is tough.
That's a hard question. And I know I was laughing through it, but like that, because that's, alcoholism is very real. It is.
It is. It just made me laugh that you're like, no, it's...
It's like I'm making fun of it, but like...
I think a lot of people are like wine. Oh, wine. Have a glass of wine. Tip it. And all that fun stuff. But no, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I honestly think like with people I know that I have that suspicion about like it's such a touchy subject because we all love to have... You know, drink here and there and have fun. It's social, and some people drink a lot, but they're not alcoholics, and you know, so it's always like that territory. But I think that if you're honestly worried, and if it's affecting how you think of somebody, then I think it's okay to bring it up, like the initial conversation without being accusatory.
So how would you bring? But that it's your boss.
I know.
How do you do that?
I mean. What do? Go have drinks with them? I mean, like, you go have drinks and be like, yeah, you are. You could tell off the bat, I'm sure, if he changes. Like, but do people do that? I guess because I haven't had like a real job in like 10 years, like a 9-to-5. And I don't drink if I'm like shooting something or working that way. I think if you're drinking at lunchtime, it's a problem.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
Because
happy hour three times a week.
Yeah.
Like
that's a lot. And if this guy's like in his 40s or whatever.
I'm assuming he's older. You know, I think there's a two-part question here in a way because should you talk to your boss. I mean, I want to protect your job, Victor. I think that's smart. And so I don't know how well you know your boss. Are they married to someone? Are they living with someone?
Right.
But I don't know if you could potentially talk to them or if that's stepping out of bounds. I don't know. See, at first I thought, well, maybe you could talk to them. But I think, well, your boss would be angry if you went to his wife or his husband and said,
look, no one's going to respond well to being called an alcoholic, especially an alcoholic. Yeah. So
I honestly think if you talk about it, I wish I knew more about your boss and the relationship you have with him, Victor. I would say if you talk to him, bring it up to the fact, not about his, well, first of all, I think you should go to an Al-Anon meeting. Al-Anon is a group for people that have someone in their lives that is an alcoholic. And so it's about how to deal with them. I honestly think you should go to them, bring the story up, and I'm sure that they're going to give you some great, amazing tips that might be contradictory to what I'm about to say. So if they contradict me, I'm a therapist, but I'm not like specifically skilled in addiction. Well, I am, but not as much. But talk to them first. But that said, the conversation I think I would have with my boss would be more of come to a place of not accusatory, but just worried like, hey, I just want to ask, is everything okay? Because I've noticed that you've been like wanting to relax a little bit more and wanting to like, you know, and we're having happy hour like 3 times a week. I want to know, are you stressed out?
Right.
Like, do you need help with something at work? Are you, because normally, and I would never give that advice. Normally, I would say, be very direct and say, I need to talk to you about your drinking.
Or
a friendship, I would say that, but I'm worried about your job, Victor.
Yeah. And he's saying they're not really like close friends.
They're not close friends.
I'm wondering if like, if you are really worried about your job and how, like, is there someone like, you don't want to be, no one wants to be the tattletale, but is there someone above his boss that you can mention it to? Or
you know, what about a coworker?
A coworker.
Because if you go like 2 or 3 coworkers together and talk to him, then yeah, he's probably going to feel shameful a little bit. But he can't, well, maybe he would, but he can't fire 3 of you. If he does, then your boss is an asshole.
And I feel also, though, like I'm having a Dr. Drew love line moment.
I like this.
It's like you should, if your boss is an alcoholic and he doesn't know,
I think,
you know, if he's not, like, then it's important for you to bring it up.
I think so, too. You know what I mean? If it go is back a on
real,
what I said.
Yes. I think if it is a real problem.
I think that's what you should say, the problem.
But, I mean, he's probably aware of it.
He's maybe, maybe not. I think it's though in numbers. Hopefully you have other coworkers. If not, then I think just do it yourself. But I think get some other coworkers together, have a conversation about it, go to the Al-Anon meeting, and then just say, hey, we want to talk to you a little bit about your drinking. We wonder, like, is everything okay? And just try to, like...
That's a toughie.
I think, though, that you... That's what you need to do.
But it's also, like, misery runs rampant in corporate America. And like, I mean,
man,
you know, you just, people got to make,
because there's some people that are going to say, fuck it. If your work's fine and it's not bothering you and you're still getting your bonus, your vacation,
right,
then don't bring it up. And normally I would say that's their issue. Let them hit their bottom if they're an alcoholic. But the fact that you're writing to me means that you care enough to talk to them.
Right.
If you didn't write to me, then it probably wouldn't matter enough to you, Victor.
Yeah. And like, you guys are friends. You know each other. You've worked together 4 years. A long time. Like, you're probably close to the, you know, we get close to people you're around for that long.
But it depends. I've been at my day job for 11 years. If one of the people were an alcoholic, I wouldn't fucking talk to them ever.
Right.
About it.
But it sounds like he's also in a very,
but I saw was sitting, wouldn't write into an advice show asking advice, because I would never even want to do that. So I think you want to do it.
And it seems like Victor's like working very, it's like, it seems like a small situation.
Yeah.
It's not like a lot of people.
And yeah, I got that feeling too. It's all right. Burping happens. Well, you're drinking the carbonated water.
I know.
That's why I don't drink carbonation. It makes you burp. I should have told you that. I'm an asshole. I should have told you at the beginning of the show.
You
I
could
didn't.
Serve something else.
I know. I should give you liquor so that we can drink while talking about somebody with an alcoholic problem, because that's helpful.
That's helpful.
That's helpful for everyone. Victor, does that help? Write me back. Let me know. This was a good question.
That is a good question.
Really good question. All right.
And sometimes people in that situation want someone to give a fuck. What if he doesn't have anyone around him?
I'm touching my nose right now because I think you're on the nose. That's true. That might be. He doesn't have people in his life that care and just, or are scared.
If you bring it up and you gauge that it's making him very uncomfortable, then like back off.
Back off.
But then you're confirmed, you know? Like
Yeah. Hopefully you can do this in numbers. If not, I think do it by yourself and just say a prayer or take a shot before you go in.
Take a shot. Here, look. Get drunk.
Get drunk.
Go to your boss.
Talk to your boss about drinking. Done. Don't do that.
Horrible advice.
Horrible advice. All right. So...
giving advice is so cathartic because it makes you feel like you're okay.
It makes you feel better about yourself.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, I think it makes you...
Why are we so good at giving advice, but we can never take our own advice?
Why we need therapists. It's why the type of therapy I do is all like narrative therapy and all about externalizing. Because what I always say is that we're too wrapped up in the problem to see straight.
Right.
So you need someone who's outside of the problem.
Yeah.
So why I do narrative therapy is it gets the client to pull themselves out of the problem. So for instance, like with Victor, I would say, you know, I've been talking to your boss, like alcohol is a character in his story. So when you talk to him, try not talk about the alcoholism, but you know, also too, maybe a good way to talk is like, maybe bring up some of the things that are going well at work. Like, hey, boss man. Hopefully you don't call him boss man, because then that's a whole other story.
He's like, you're fired, Victor.
Hey, boss man.
But don't ever call me that.
Be like, hey, these are the things I've noticed. This is going well. This is going really well. I feel really supported when you do this and that. And I am a little worried about your drinking. I wanted to, and just kind of, we're gilding the lily a little bit, but it helps.
Yeah. No, it does help.
So,
I don't know.
I think it's just good to get ourselves.
Yeah.
Advice is good. You should do advice.
I need to come get real therapy from you one day.
You should do Advine.
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 That's a good idea.
Okay, copyrighted. Clayton Ferris. Nobody touch it.
Advine. Actually, the funny thing... Oh, sorry.
Did someone have a baby?
This is really funny. Like, this is so off topic, but...
No, do it.
I hope that this is never... So, I work in publicity part-time. Like,
oh, I didn't know that.
That's like, kind of like my day job, like indie film publicity. And I started doing it for a theater company I was with. And through that, I ended up somehow being Chaz Bono's publicist.
Oh, nice.
For his theater work only. Because he's an actor now and he's doing a lot of theater.
Oh, okay.
And so it's still always really funny to me when I get a text from Chaz fucking Bono.
Oh, you just got checks from Chaz Bono.
Yeah, because we're trying to have a call. I'm not the best publicist in the world.
Tell them about Brave Trails. P.S. Plug my camp.
What is it?
You know, I'm starting a camp. That's what I'm doing in a month. It's Brave Trails. It's a leadership camp for LGBTQ youth ages 12 to 20.
Yeah, he loves that stuff.
Yeah. Tell him about Brave Trails.
Okay, well.
Be like, just touch back. Look at Brave Trails.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Anyway, sorry.
No, anyways, I'm just, like, that was, I guess I'm kind of
That's weird.
It's like a weird humble brag, but it's also like, it's not even a humble brag.
Wait, have you ever met Cher?
Well, here's the thing. Well, I'm part of this company called 30 Minute Musicals, and we do, like, 30 minute versions
of,
like.
Oh, my friend Lindsay does Quick and Funny Musicals at UCB.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is similar to that, but this is at, this is kind of like its own company.
Cool.
And Chaz has done two of them. And Cher has come to two shows. Cher. And there's a lot of gay guys that are in the company. And not like that is important.
So you saw Cher sitting in the audience.
I've seen Cher sit in the audience. She loves the shows. You can hear her laughing. And it made a lot of like just people in theater in general. It just made people's like fucking dreams come true.
Oh.
It's Cher.
It's Cher. It's
was
motherfucking
watching
Cher.
Them perform and enjoying it.
So did you meet her yet?
I was never in a show that she came to.
Okay.
But, you know, so there's like, I'm 1 degree away.
You're 1 degree. I've heard Chaz Bono's a wonderful person.
He's great. No, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I brought that up. It's just because I literally got a text.
That's funny.
And also I got a text from a friend that says, drinks and food?
Oh, I got no text.
I should have turned my phone up.
No, it's all right.
This is boring convo.
No, it's all right. It's very, you just name dropped. First name drop on the Dear Maddie, you're a douche. You're a fucking douche.
But the reason I don't like being a publicist is because I want, you know, as an actor and performer, I want to be doing my own sort of.
Does it help you learn, though, how to do it for yourself?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like anytime I have like a thing, like I just did a web series and I did all the publicity for it. and, you know, I can reach out and...
And it got a lot of views and stuff?
Yeah, it got views and, I mean, it's easier when you're working with Chaz Bono because he's famous and people know who he is, so they want to, like, cover
his
shit.
You should teach a class for... Because actors are lemmings. Lemmings? Yes. You should teach a class called Publicity Do-It-Yourself for Actors and teach them, like, a four-week class how to do that. They'll pay you $300.
No, totally.
You'll have 20 students.
Do you ever feel like that's what you're going to be doing in, like, 5 years in L.A.?
I've already started doing that.
Oh, you have?
I do. Cam's been keeping me busy. I really actually love it. I teach a class for actors because the whole therapy thing, like I go to these, a lot of people are like, why are you, oh, you do
great. Because actors are fucked up and they need help.
They're fucked up. But you go to, they're like, oh, you do well commercially. Why? And I'm like, because I'm not nervous and I enjoy auditioning.
Right.
And it truly is like, I mean, maybe you can agree with me, but it is, I 100% believe this. If you do not like auditioning, then you need to stop being an actor.
Yeah, no.
I know so many actors are like, oh, I hate auditioning. I'm like...
You're like, that's the whole job,
that's
buddy.
That's all you do.
That's all you do.
Like, I don't mind. I'm like, I listen to a podcast, listen to the radio, I drive to Burbank. I don't care.
Figure out what you like
about like,
it.
I'm like, I'm not doing attorneys fucking dishes that are assholes, that are white entitled people.
No,
doing
that's
a job.
The time you get to act.
Yeah.
You get to have fun. You get to have fun. You get...
So that my class is all basically getting people back in touch with the reason why they moved out here.
That's very smart.
Learning how to, in auditions, to actually see the good things they're doing as well. And right. Also step back emotionally and actually, I feel like the good thing about doing a podcast and being a host and editing my own reel and doing this and all my stuff myself is that now, like when I hear my voice sounds exactly the same as it does to me in real life.
Right.
When I see myself on camera, I think... Not exactly, but I almost see myself exactly the way people see me.
That's
Instead of
good.
Going, oh, that's a fat chin, no. Blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I moved my head this way, and I think I'm being funny, but it actually looks a little weird.
Right.
So just change it.
And don't you feel like casting directors are begging for people to be themselves?
Yes.
That's all they want.
Begging. That's all they want you to do is be themselves, hang out. Julia Roberts has a fucking Oscar for being herself. That's all I want.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Anyway. That's my thing. Seriously, you teach class.
That's the acting.
I would take your publicity
class.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we're at celebrity shit the bed, where we talk about something in pop culture, so or life or whatever. What do you know? What you want to bring to the table?
Well, I do, but like you said, you don't talk politically, which I totally.
Well, no, I can talk politically.
This isn't political, but I think it comes because you do stand up, right? Or you've done stand up?
I do. I do. I've just been busy.
Yeah. So, I mean, stand up's a very specific world where you really have to dive in and live in that world to get involved. But it's something I did for a few years. But it's just as a person that's in comedy. Whenever, like, there's so, like, okay. So basically today, Amy Schumer had to apologize.
This is a good one.
Yeah, she had to apologize for some jokes that she made, not even recently, like in her set in the past.
Uh-huh.
She's probably done comedy for 15 years.
Yes, 15 years.
You know?
And she's like blowing up. I didn't read the article. I saw the headline. Was it jokes about rape?
No, it was jokes about, it was like a Mexican joke. The joke was, I can tell you what the joke was. And I'm not saying that the joke is right, but I'm saying the thing is it's comedy. And so the joke was that like, She was like, I used to date... Can I tell the joke?
No, yeah, go.
She was like, I used to date Mexicans, but then I realized I like consensual.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
I guess
yes.
That is a rape joke.
Well, it is a rape joke, yes. Yes,
so, which I don't think that that's a... I don't think it's a funny joke. I would not laugh at that. I don't think that Mexicans rape people. That's not... No. Like, I don't think that.
Yeah.
But I think that my thing has always been, I think we live in America, people are allowed to say what they want. I know that it's a rough time right now, racially. Trust me, I feel it. I feel what it's like. We're all dealing with kind of what it's like to be white, what it's like. And not like that's a – I'm just saying white people are having to face what it means to be white these days.
I think more white people think about white privilege than they used to. I hope.
Yeah.
And I hope.
Which is
I
a
hope.
Good thing.
That's a good thing.
And I think that if people actually can face it head on – then there can be progress.
Yeah.
But I also think in the world of comedy, in the world of a stand-up club, a comedy club, in the world of someone's own kind of like, I just don't think that we can't police that. And we can't police especially things people have said in the past. Like, you can't just like, I don't know. That's all it is.
No, I honestly feel as a comedian...
Because if they shut down one person, then we're all going to get shut down.
It's the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech, right? That's the First Amendment, right?
Yeah.
Freedom of speech. So Oh, wait. Is that? No, that's not the First Amendment.
I would have to Google it.
It's not.
No, it is the First Amendment.
I thought the First Amendment is the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
I don't know. Second, I don't know. Isn't second gun?
It's the Third Amendment. So I would look it up, but.
Freedom of speech is the
which
first.
Which amendment is freedom of speech?
I just asked Siri. Let's see what Siri says.
Checking my sources. Here's what I found on the web for which amendment is freedom of speech. I just asked Siri what's your Siri says.
I don't know what it is. Oh, it's the First Amendment. I was right. It is a freedom of speech First Amendment.
Which Woo! Means that that's an important amendment. No, so I think that the thing, and like, no. Trust me, I'm the most fucking liberal person there is. That's, I hate when people say that, and I just said it. I'm a very liberal person. I'm the first one to be like, I can't even enjoy movies anymore because I'm so annoyed by all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a problem. I think that, like, if we can't say, if shitty people can't say the things they want to say, then free people eventually aren't going to be able to say the things they want to say. It's just like, it's a cycle.
I think, yeah, I remember when I was a little kid in Oklahoma, I might have told this story before in the show, but I'll tell it again. My mother, I was about 8 years old, and the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, was in my hometown. We were driving to church, actually, on Sunday morning. Grew up Catholic. And so I was like, Mommy, you know, who are those people? And so she kind of explained to me what the KKK was. She explained that they were a hate group and they were really terrible to African-American people. But she also talked about how they're also really terrible to, she said, they wouldn't like Catholic people. Like, they really don't like anybody who is not like them, who's not their religion and is not white. And I told my mom, I said, well, we just need to get rid of them. Why are they allowed to do that? And she said, well, honey, we have this thing in our country called freedom of speech. And it's a wonderful thing because it shows us how stupid some people are and that we don't want to be associated with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's, especially with comedy, I really, like, one of my tenets I live by is Carol Burnett says comedy is tragedy plus time.
Right.
And I know that in my own life, when I knew I was kind of able to deal with something is when I could laugh at it. And I think that, I'm not saying someone who's going to be raped or assaulted is going to laugh at that joke. I don't mean that. I just mean that if that's, but maybe that is funny to a Latino person who has been profiled, you know. It's different because now that I'm especially dating men that are not my race, I see how people act. I see, like, I was taking a road trip. It was like in California even, and I walked into a bar, a restaurant, with the guy I'm dating currently who is black, and I saw everyone turn and stare at him.
Yeah.
We weren't holding hands or anything. They were literally just staring at him because he was black. And there was affluent white people, and I was like, wow, this is really, I've never experienced anything like that in my life.
Right.
And then we walked out, and I got in the car, and I said, did you notice that everybody was staring at you? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, a very, like, quote-unquote classy person. Like, he was dressed nice.
Right.
He was like, well, it's not like... But no, it was shocking to me.
It is shocking.
And so it makes me think if that person can laugh about racial... Maybe they need to laugh about somebody making a joke about somebody's black, you know?
But it's like... No, that's my whole point is, like, okay, the rape is kind of a hard thing because I think we all agree that rape... Like, everyone agree. That's a universal thing that everyone agrees rape is bad.
Not Bill Cosby.
Not Bill Cosby.
But yes.
But, like, yeah, exactly. It's like, this is the heavy podcast now.
Yeah, that's true. We got deep. We got deep.
It's not... It's just, like, I think that you have to think about the fact that if... It's just a cycle. Like, if we shut down everybody,
it's just words.
Then it's just going to get shut down. It's like, don't give power to those words.
Yeah, and yes, and I think, too, that with comedy, it's not about you. Amy Schumer is not talking about you getting offended in West Hills, California. She's talking about a general joke. And it's so, because it's so funny. We make...
But I also don't think that everyone's as a fit and like...
And if you don't like it, don't watch it. Yeah, that's it. Just change the channel.
Also, not everyone's as offended by certain things.
I laugh at gay stereotypical jokes all the time.
Yeah, but
I think it's
like
hilarious.
If you don't, you're not like upset about it. You're just like, okay, well, that's a shitty...
Like, I don't agree with that, but you have your right to say
It's very much to me like the word I was. I a lot of people don't agree with me with this, but I think it's ridiculous that people that RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race got police for saying the word tranny,
right?
Because I feel like if any, I know being trans and a drag queen is not the same thing, but if anyone should be thankful for someone in the community, I think trans people should be.
That's the perfect thing, is because whenever that all happened, like RuPaul, I remember there was like a tweet, because I follow RuPaul on Twitter. I love RuPaul.
Yeah, RuPaul's
there
great.
Was something where he was like, there's some like animal house, animal farm quote, or like from the book where it's like, people forget what the fight is about. People forget what the revolution is about.
Yes.
And it's like, once we start turning on every single person, like I would consider Amy Schumer, she's a feminist.
She's a feminist.
That's bringing this to the forefront. Exactly. And it's, now she's being attacked for, like, it's not, no one's perfect.
She's actually more not making fun of Latinos. She's making fun, and people don't realize what I see. She's making fun of stereotypical white girls who believe that.
Right. Or she's making fun of cousins. Men in general.
Yes. That's what she's making fun of, is that she's making fun of you for having that stereotypical thought.
Right.
To me. But again, that's
because you're not going to laugh at that joke unless you think that way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I would
laugh at that joke because it's so, I would laugh at it in that way of like, oh my God, people actually think that.
Right.
Fucking stupid people think that. That's what I would laugh at.
Yeah.
And so
you're not supporting it because you laugh at it. You're realizing that it's a, but I know that's it's such a touchy subject, but I think that when we think about protecting like freedom of speech, especially in creativity and art, we have to be pretty
open. And it has to be said.
It has to be pretty open. We have to be pretty open to all of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
the good and the bad.
The good and the bad. It fucking sucks.
Just turn the channel. Just turn the channel.
Because the good is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. It's already happening. The good is going to win.
I agree.
Like, I think that the gay marriage thing is a good way to look at, even if you don't agree, you see now that people already sound like dinosaurs when they're standing against it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, times are changing.
100%.
I don't know. But also, I think that's the thing. I think it's just so funny to watch people that everyone loves 1 week, and then the next week, like, they're torn to shreds for something. But it's just being a public guy.
Yeah, I mean.
But then also today I was like, is this a publicity stunt? Because she has that movie coming out. And I know that people use like reverse publicity a lot now. Like, they're going to make her sound like she's a racist for publicity because race is a hot card right now. And I'm like, that's fucked up.
I don't know. You would know, you're the publicist.
That's how I look at things now. I'm like, oh, it's all formulaic.
Well, it's true what they say. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
No, exactly.
Well.
So, sorry. I should have been like, Courtney and Scott broke up.
No, Courtney and Scott. I don't know who that is.
Kardashian.
Oh, they did? I don't know. I am upset about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, what's the 10-year thing I was reading about? Like, everyone's like, you wait 10 years because in marriage it gives you like a statute of limitations.
Maybe
or something.
There's something. But I'm very sad. I'm very sad about that. I was hoping for that one.
Yeah, that
I
was
love
a good,
Jennifer Garner.
But I think that it's like, I think that creative people like that, like, no one want, like, actors especially, if you're like people that are famous, they just follow their fucking dicks.
A lot of them do.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't, like, it's like, they have one inkling to like cheat or something, and they don't fight it like the rest of us do. They're
My dick
is in command.
Yes, I'm sure they both have probably been,
or they just fell out of love. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Well, who knows? We're almost at the end. That was a good celebrity shit the bed. Well
okay,
done.
Good. Yeah.
I like that.
I understand that like no one wants to hear a white person say the things that I just said.
I think. Someone does.
But I think it's a free country.
Yeah, it's a free country. That's the beauty of it. And I think it's great that you think about it. You're a feeler.
I'm a feeler.
You're a feeler. All right, Chatty Matty questions. All right. So you've heard these. You know what's coming. Mm-hmm. So question number one, what's your most memorable or favorite childhood smell?
Family camp out.
Family camp out. Why family camp out?
Because family camp out is like this thing we used to go on with in church, where our whole family would go camping in Tyler, Texas.
Oh, Tyler. My friend Sarah DeLomo's from Tyler.
Yeah, and it's just the smell of campfire.
It's East Texas. Beautiful there.
Yeah, it's like Pecan Gap. A lot of pecan.
Yeah, a lot
but
of pecans.
But it is beautiful there, and it's just the smell of camping and the smell of fire.
And it's like oak leaves burning. And it just reminds
me of...
And
you would go, you and your sisters and your
family? My whole family would go, like, and we would just... It was just a blast. And, like, I remember for many... I still describe it when I'm with my family. We'll say it smells like family camp out. If we're somewhere that smells like fire. Or not like fire, like burning fire. But like a campfire.
So you're pretty close with your family.
Yeah, I'm very close. I love them.
Oh.
I mean, we're all spread out now, but...
So what did you tell y'all go fishing and all that kind
we
of stuff?
We go fishing. I remember like there was like this guy from the church that would take everyone on like motorcycle rides.
That's wonderful.
There was like high, you know, just like camp, like camping.
Family camp out.
Family camp out. You just do stuff. It was also church stuff involved, but it was like just like camping. I love camping to this day.
Not a fan.
Not
but,
a fan?
But I love the smell of family camp out too, actually.
You like glamping.
Yes. Yes, I like a nice hotel. All right, this one will be interesting. Alcoholic drink you can't drink anymore because you got drunker than Cooter Brown.
Cooter Brown. I love how everyone asks, who's Cooter Brown?
You know.
Well, I knew because you tell people.
You tell people. Okay, well.
But I love that that's the story because I always thought Cooter meant vagina.
It can, but Cooter Brown, it's a person.
Okay, yeah. It's a person that got so drunk that he avoided the draft.
Unless it's like a gay man's butt, because that would be a brown vagina.
That's a brown
poop
cooter.
On it.
That's a brown
gross.
Cooter.
That's a brown cooter. That's gross. I don't know why I said that. I might edit that out. I won't because I have integrity, y'all.
Yeah.
But, so thing you can't drink anymore.
Anything that's like a Fireball whiskey or like. What like that pepperminty?
Did you have a bad night?
I had a bad night. I remember my like when I graduated from high school. I had a bad night with can't even think of what it's called. Like
hot damn,
not something like hot damn.
Goldschlager.
Like, Goldschlager. Yes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Goldschlager. I can't drink anything that has flakes in it. Anything that's pepperminty. Anything that's a schnapps. Any of that shit. I got real sick.
Real sick.
Yeah. See that we were drinking on my when I was 17, graduated.
Well, that's what you do.
That's what you do in Texas.
Yeah, you graduated early. You're smarty. Smarty. Okay. Chatty Matic question number 3. When are you most inspired?
I think I'm most inspired like just being out here and still like trying to be an actor. I'm still inspired.
I'm proud of you. You're doing it. You've been out here for like
a while. Like I'm still inspired. I went and saw a show the other day at the Doma Theater, which is this little theater in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It does really great shows. But it's for some reason it kind of feels like a group of outcasts coming together to put mm-hmm. on these like shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt inspiration watching these kind of they're even outcasts from like the major theater world out here, mm-hmm. but they were like so fucking in it, giving it their all. Really telling like just it was amazing and I was like this is why people do theater, this is what actors are, they're the fucking misfits that had nothing like that had no place when they were growing up and they could find it in the theater, in the acting world, and it still inspires me when I see people really in the moment on stage, and it sounds cliche but it just does like it just reminds me of like why people are actors.
That's wonderful. They used to love it like that.
Yeah. And like, you have to love it like that. But also my sister inspires me.
Why?
Because she's a musician and she's out there like on the road.
That's a hard life.
It's a hard fucking life.
My cousin Ryan's a musician.
She's on the road with four guys and her, and she's the lead singer of the band. Somebody's Darling. Somebody'sDarling.com.
Oh, I love it.
And she...
The Dear Maddie Show brought to you by Somebody'sDarling.com.
Somebody's Darling. The only band that has a lead singer that's a chick. No, it just like people that... passionate people inspire me.
Do you cry a lot?
I cry.
I see you being a crier when you touch, like at a movie, or like if your sister sings a really beautiful song.
Yeah,
you kind of crying.
I cry at people that I cry when people get overwhelmed with their emotion.
Yeah,
I'm an empath.
Empath. Okay, I get it.
Are you? Do you cry?
No, I'm dead inside.
Okay.
That's
what your hair turned red because you're the devil.
It's true. It's true. Sad things don't make me cry. If somebody like something really inspiring, that'll make me teary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Like the Barack Obama like, song.
Yes, like Mr. Holland's Opus will make me cry. That
right.
terrible manipulated movie.
Well, it was funny because like when we were growing up, we were in church a lot. And me and my sisters would always cry in church. And it was because we were like felt bad for our day-to-day lives.
Oh.
So we would like actually repent. And I remember all the other kids would be like.
What religion were you raised?
We were raised Southern Baptist.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I went to a church that was like super judgmental. But like
you know, we were living our teenage lives pretty hard, and then we were still going to church and considered ourselves Christians. So there was like a conflict of interest. So we would cry every fucking Sunday. And I remember the other kids would be like, why are they crying, Mom?
Clayton, you know the Lord, Clayton.
And like, we just cry. But we would just cry because like church is built to be like an emotional moment.
It is. It's meant to be that.
Yeah. So I guess it just means I have easy manipulated emotions.
Well, you're in touch with them. That's good. Because
they're
an actor.
They're on the surface.
That's why you're a good actor and I'm not. You're I just play actor. Myself because I can't cry. Okay. Number four, weirdest place you had sex or celebrity crush, depending on your prudence. I usually like to say first celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush.
Or weirdest place you had sex.
So celebrity crush that I want to smash with.
I also like to say people's first celebrity crush just because it makes me think of what your childhood was like. Like, I mean, I know I don't date girls now, but like to me, it's my first celebrity crush was like, I was in love with Paula Abdul. Love with her. Love with her. Like it's a thing.
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm going to, my guy celebrity crush would be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my God. Have you heard him in Little Shop right now?
No.
He can sing really well.
I think it's so cool he's doing that with Ellen Green.
Oh yeah. It's so, one of my good friends is Alan Menken's daughter.
Love it.
So you know who Alan Menken is, right?
Yeah. He wrote Little Shop.
And so she like gets to go to all, so we get all the inside scoop.
I love that.
They're wonderful.
I love when someone like Jake Gyllenhaal is like, I want to do Little Shop of Horrors on Broadway.
Yeah.
With Ellen Green.
Yes.
Ellen Green's the original Audrey.
That made me cry. I heard the bootleg recording of her singing Somewhere with a Screen. And still at this day, at this age, I've never heard a theater audience so silent in my life.
Wait, you heard the one from the bootleg, this show like somebody, or yes. like the original?
Yeah, from this show.
Yeah.
That made me teary. It was Mandy Rausch. Do you remember Mandy? What was Mandy's middle maiden name from North Texas?
Patinkin.
She was redhead.
I don't remember that time.
No,
I remember you and Amber Lee.
And that's it.
But I did Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, Little Shop of Horrors is responsible for why I'm an actor, probably.
Oh, really?
Because I did it in high school.
Because you're a singer.
Yeah. I mean, like musical theater style, yeah, like, not like legit.
Not opera.
You're an opera singer.
Well, I was, yeah. But, That's a good R.
Anyways, now I'm just rambling.
So Jake Gyllenhaal, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then my girl crush is Diane Argon from Glee, the blonde
She's
girl.
Beautiful.
Because I saw her one time at my agency at Abrams, like get out of a car in slow-mo in like her Beamer.
The wind and everything.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, she's drop-dead gorgeous. Like she was like, she takes you back.
Hmm.
And then it's Matt Marr.
Oh, it's me. It's me right now. It's me.
No, I don't have sex in weird places. I hate that question. Like, don't go fucking and like.
I think probably like the year show, I'll drop that question because I realize most people don't have sex in weird places.
And no one's going to tell
like
you.
My brother had a good story.
Yeah. What was that?
He had sex in a field during a thunderstorm. and they heard the tornado sirens. See, and the girl that he was having sex with said, is that the tornado sirens? And he just said, that's just part of the experience, baby.
And that's not a bad place, though. Like, I feel like if you're like, I had sex at the salad bar at Golden
Sizzler. I want to know that story.
No one's going to tell you that.
Well, they might.
Like if you had sex in the rain, that's a great story.
That would be a lot of wetness. Okay, last question. What makes your heart happy?
I guess I've never felt that.
You've never been happy.
No, I think that it's the same thing as inspiration and stuff. Like, I think that, like, seeing people being themselves and in their right moment makes me happy.
Oh, for sure.
And that's because, like, I always try to aspire. I'm not there, but I always try to aspire to, like, be myself and be.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing people can ever do is just get out of their own way and be themselves.
And just get out of your way and just live your life.
Yep.
So I 100%. Think that makes my heart happy.
I love that.
And I know, and my family too. And I know you hate that answer.
I don't hate that answer. No, everybody says that, which actually I love because it shows to me there's a common theme in humanity that our families, whether they're family of origin or family of choice, make us who we are. Because how we love is really what defines us in our life. Whether it's you love your friend, your partner. That's why gay marriage to me was so important because to not validate my love actually is invalidating me as a person, right, the base of who I am. So,
or to restrict how you can love.
Yes, exactly.
Because, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's it.
That's it.
The show. You did the show.
That was so fun.
Yeah. Oh, you were very fun. I'm so.
I hope it was like more funny and not like.
I feel like this was a perfect balance of funny and a little deep.
A little deep.
Talking about some stuff. Now tell everybody where they can find you on the Vine and the Twister. The Twitter and all
like
that.
If you find
Facebook.
Find me on Twister.
Find me on Twister.
At Left Red.
Find
me on, I guess, find me on Vine at Clayton Farris, CLAYTONFARRIS, Vine, Twitter, YouTube, all that jazz.
It's all the same.
All the same. And then if anyone listens to this week, on Tuesday, we have a comedy show. Tuesday the 11th? No, sorry. I'm going to just look this up real quick.
Do it. No, that's fine.
Tuesday the 14th.
Okay.
Of July, July 14th, we have a comedy show at Echoes Under Sunset in Echo Park, where we're going to be doing some comedy and like live lip syncing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is like
all the rage now. Yeah, it is. I don't get it. No, I was going to host. They're doing a thing in downtown. The guy wanted me to host a show along with a drag queen.
Live lip sync?
A lip sync showdown battle. And it sounded fun, but like.
Where at the Ace? No, I mean at the Standard? Where was it?
No, it was going to be like some bar. I mean, the guy was really nice, but we said, oh, are you promoting this? He's like, well, he was like, I don't really like social media. And I said, I don't really. Yeah. And I actually said, I don't really like condoms, but I use them. It's just you have to.
I'm sorry.
Any actor or entertainer says, I don't like social media, then go be a farmer.
Right. And like you don't want to perform in front of nobody.
Yeah. Sorry, you got to do that. Okay. So anyway, it was too much. So I was like, whatever. But yeah, that's huge now. This show's going to go up. I'm going to post this. What's that creaking noise?
Take your time.
This show's going to. No, I think I'm going to post this show actually tomorrow.
Yeah. There's no edits. We didn't say anything too fucked up.
I think that we can say the whole thing. And yeah, and so everybody else, you know. Well, no baby. Mike Melody didn't have a baby. So. Yeah, well, or he didn't text me. I mean, he might be busy, like, whatever, sharing life. But for the rest of you, you can find me on DearMattyShow.com. You can also, I'm looking up on Facebook as I talk to you because I want to see if Mike Willoughby had a baby. You can also find me on any social media at TheMattMar. So you can do, I think I'm actually on Vine, but I don't. I got it. There's a text from 1 hour ago that says, this is happening. So I guess that means they're pushing. And that baby is being born. Oh my God, Michael Bellamy is gonna have a baby. I can't wait. Ooh. Sorry, I love children. Are you taking a picture? Please tell me you're taking a selfie.
I was actually Snapchatting this.
You are?
Snapchat, doing a podcast with Matt Maher.
Oh, what's up?
Snapchat's my favorite new app.
I feel like it's Snapchat's just for showing dick pics.
No, I mean, it's
but all the youth are in it. For the camp, all the kids are in it.
It's also just like people telling their own stories like with their camera. Like that's just where shit goes, man.
Everything's so much more tuned in than I am.
You gotta be tuned in.
You're like, I need to take a public
class. I'm gonna start that class.
You do. I will be the first person to take this publicity class.
The importance of social media and how to publicize your own shit.
I would 100% take it. So yeah, whatever, my stuff. The Matt Maher. Send me questions, y'all. Send me questions. And yeah, that's about it. So thank you, Clayton Farris.
Thank you, Matt Maher.
Thank you very much. I love you. I actually do. I love you.
This was
like such a great reconnection.
Yeah, it's
of
so
two
fun.
Souls.
Now we're going to be friends in real life.
We are going to be friends in real life. And to everybody else, have a wonderful week. Enjoy your July and do something for someone this week. And I'll see you in a week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.